Well, welcome to our pre-recorded service for Sunday, the 20th of September. Thank you to Robin Ferries and Peter Millington for doing the readings, and also for Clive Atkinson for doing the prayers. We're going to start our time of worship together by singing, Oh, the Splendour of His Greatness.
His greatness, oh, the beauty of his love, oh, the depths of his forgiveness, the wonder of the Father's love. Jesus, the Lamb for sacrifice, shows forth his Father's plan in love to bring back to his side the rebel heart of man. Oh, the splendor of his greatness, oh, the beauty of his love, oh, the depths of his forgiveness, the wonder of the Father's love. His Spirit given freely, to all who believe. The God of creation is mighty to save, and salvation I freely receive. Oh, the splendor of his greatness, oh, the beauty of his love, oh, the depths of his forgiveness, the one the Father's love. Behold, as God makes all things new, the Father of us all. And you we bow before his throne in praise forevermore. Oh, the splendor of his greatness, oh, the beauty of his love, oh, the depths of his forgiveness, the wonder of the Father's love, the wonder of the Father's love.
Having sung of God's greatness, it reminds us of our own sinfulness. God, who is holy, and yet compared to him, even our best efforts are stained. And so we're going to take a moment to reflect upon our lives, and we're going to pray together a prayer of confession. So together, O Lord our God, you know us better than we know ourselves. As we come before you now, believers and doubters alike, we all share a deep need, for we're all lost without your grace. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our troubled thoughts. Give us true repentance. Forgive us all our wrongs. Transform us by your Spirit to live for you each day, to learn to serve each other, and through the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, to come at last to heaven. Amen. Well, the scriptures remind us that through Christ our sins have been paid for, and that we can be sure of God's forgiveness. So we give thanks to God for his grace towards us. We're now going to have our children's talk, and our story today is the two sons. Here is a man, he grows apples in an orchard. The apples are red and rosy, it is time for them to be picked. At home the man has two sons. I want you to help me to pick the apples, said the man to his first son. No, says the first son, I'm busy. That's not nice. But after a while, he is sorry for what he said. He picks up a basket and goes to the orchard. The man finds his second son. I want you to help me pick the apples too, he says. Yes, says the second son. I will come as soon as I put on my boots. Back in the orchard, the first son was busy picking apples. Look, he's already filled one basket. Well done, son, says the man. Here is another basket. We'll have this done in no time. They worked together until all the apples had been picked. But there was no sign of the second son. He has forgotten his promise. Who do you think pleased his father? The first son or the second son? Jesus says, what we do is much more important than what we say. Well, Jesus calls us to follow him. It's more just saying, yes, I'll do that, but actually putting it into practice in our lives. A little bit later on, I'm going to be talking to mums and dads about another parable, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee seems to say, I do all these things. And sometimes he does. But in the end, he doesn't listen to Jesus. The tax collector, he hears Jesus, he sees his sin, and he acknowledges his wrong. Again, the question is asked, which of the two is God pleased with? Well, God's pleased with the humble one, as he is with the son, although he said no at first, who went on to do what he'd been asked. Well, thank you, boys and girls, for listening. There are some colouring in sheets you may wish to do when I'm talking to mums and dads a little bit later in the service. Well, we're going now to have our Bible readings. Thank you.
Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here am I. Send me. This is the word of our Lord.
Second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, starting at verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the end of the reading.
Well, to have a Bible would be good to open up to Luke chapter 18 and verses 9 to 14 as we look at the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you we're able to open your word today. And Father God, we ask your spirit will guide us in our understanding to see how your word applies to our lives. Help us, Father, to see the truths it contains about your character and also about ours, that we may come humbly before our God. And we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how do you view yourself? Do you see yourself fundamentally as a good person? Do you compare yourself with others and say, well, at least I'm not like that other person over there? Are there times when you're proud? Maybe when you're self-righteous? Maybe sometimes you think of yourself better than others. When the Bible, we're often taught the need for humility, to have a sober judgment of oneself, to have a realistic view. But that can be really hard to do at times, for we so often compare ourselves to others, and it's easy to either have a superior view or even sometimes to have a false humility, putting ourselves down. Well, before we look at the passage in Luke chapter 18 today that's before us, I want us to consider how God deals with us as fallen human beings. For the scriptures remind us that he knows us better than we know ourselves. And so what is the basis of our salvation? What is made very clear in scripture is that none of us are deserving of God's grace. We may not be as bad as others, but none of us reach to the heights that God would want us to. We all fall short of the glory of God, as we're reminded in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Indeed, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 10, we're reminded that we're still sinners, we were still God's enemies when Christ died for us. But this is teaching not only there in Paul, but we see it also in the Gospels. In John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world. The world there is the word cosmos. It is a world of people, a people in rebellion against God. And yet he loved that world so much, even though he owed it nothing, that he sent his one and only Son, that he would die in our place, that we could be forgiven rather than perish as we put our faith and trust in Jesus. As we see, we're only in relationship with God because God has acted first for us, that he has loved us. And so we should not get on our high horse or self-righteous. Indeed, that's part of the problem with the Pharisees, as we'll see today in our parable. They felt that they were right before God, that they were good people, and therefore they were not looking for God's grace and God's mercy. They didn't see why Jesus needed to come, and therefore dismissed him as a false prophet, as a blasphemer. But as we read Jesus' teaching in Luke, we also need to be careful that we don't, again, turn about and say, well, at least we're not like the Pharisees. You know, there's a number of people listening to Jesus. Amongst them were Pharisees. And they said, Jesus is challenging them about their status before God. And so we need to be careful that we don't fall into the same trap and think, well, at least I'm not like them. For in the end, it's only because of the grace of God that even our eyes are open. It's only because God reveals and removes that veil that we're able to see. That God is the one who works in our lives. We are born from above. We are born again. Well, let's look at the passage that's before us in Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. Jesus is again teaching. We're, as already noted, there are a number of people listening to him, amongst them the disciples, the crowd, the Pharisees. And so we're told that to some who were confident in their righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. And so he's very clearly aiming it at those who are proud there, most likely to the Pharisees that were present in the crowd. But it may have been others as well. He knew their hearts. He knew their attitude. And so he tells this parable. He tells of two men who went to the synagogue to pray. One of them was a Pharisee. And we see that he stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers and evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector over there. He said, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. He was a man who took seriously his religious obligations. On the other hand, we read in verse 13 about a tax collector. He stands at a distance. And unlike the Pharisee, who seemed to be looking up to God, he's not even willing to look up to heaven. He beats his breast as a sign of repentance, and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus' punchline would have actually been quite shocking to those who listened to him. As we've seen with many of the parables, Jesus aims to shock people out of their set views. And so in verse 14, he says, I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. One of the problems we face, of course, as we read this parable, is that we've already been predisposed to look to Pharisees as being hypocrites. As I've mentioned a number of times, many of the parables don't have the same impact. But for the crowd, for the Pharisees, even for the disciples to whom Jesus was talking, this would have been a shocking point of view. For many there, it would have been the accepted point of view that tax collectors were beyond the pale, and Pharisees were good, upright, religious people. And so it would have been, as I said, a shocking story. It was there to jolt people. It's a classic reversal that happens here, where the proud is made low and the humble are lifted up. As I already mentioned, this parable by Jesus is aimed at those who are confident in their own righteousness. They may well have heard the previous parable about the persistent widow, and they thought, yes, we are persistent in our prayer, and we go about doing the things that God would want us to do. But as we see, there's a contrast made between two characters, the Pharisee on the one hand, who keeps the external rites of religion, who looks down on others, particularly the tax collector, and then the tax collector, who won't even raise his eyes to heaven. He's there beating his chest, as I said, a sign of repentance. But it reminds us that God listens not based on our righteousness or how good we are. For as I already reminded you, the basis of our salvation is not our salvation. We all fall our righteousness. We all fall short of the glory of God, but on God's graciousness. And so here God is listening to both these prayers. The one who is justified, the one who's made right, is the one who relies on God's mercy. And of course, as we read it, we are again being challenged. Well, what do we rely upon? What is the basis of our salvation, our relationship with God? Well, it needs to be repentance and trusting in the Lord Jesus. It's not about our own self-righteousness. So we need to ask, how does this apply to us? Yes, we need to be careful to be penitent, that's true. To be prayerful, both men were prayerful. But above all, we need to be humble. We need to recognise our own sinfulness. Even though at times that can be quite hard, to be honest with God and with ourselves. In the hymn Amazing Grace, John Newton reflects on his wretchedness before God. What a wretched man am I. Indeed, Paul himself in Romans talks again about his wretchedness. And as we recognise our wretchedness, as we recognise our sinfulness, it lifts up, it heightens the sense of God's grace. See, for Paul, when he was Saul, he had the attitude of the Pharisees. His self-righteousness was good enough. He didn't need Jesus. And yet there, on the road to Damascus, he came face to face with Jesus. And he recognised that he indeed was a sinner. And we see it time and time again in his letters, where he is the greatest of sinners. He's the least of the apostles. That he sees the need for God's grace. It comes out in the words we already mentioned, that while we're still enemies, Christ died for us. And so we too need to reflect upon our sinfulness. Not on a scale with others. It's not about comparing ourselves with our neighbour or indeed maybe some of the bad people in our history. But rather considering our lives in the light of the surpassing righteousness of the Father. See, even the best things we do are stained before God compared to his righteousness. And it's amazing that God does not just simply dismiss us all for being too sinful. And yet, as we've been reminded already, God loves us so much. He is willing to send his only son to die for this wretched world, could call us back into relationship with himself. And as we recognize what we're really like, we think, wow, God, how could you love even one like me? And yet he does. And we rejoice in that. Indeed, as we recognize our sinfulness, one temptation is to run away from God. What, God, you have nothing to do with us. But because of we know of God's love and of God's grace, rather than turning away from God, he calls us into his presence. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and following, we're called to come into the most holy place through the blood of Jesus. To come into God's presence, even though we are recognizing the fact that we are sinful because our sin is dealt with in Christ. So the Pharisees in their self-righteousness dismissed Jesus. Yes, there'll be many who will come, including Saul, who becomes Paul. But at this point, because they are so self-contained and self-reliant, they don't see the need for Jesus. And yet, in our sinfulness, we do see that need. We need to come to Christ. As I said, we're no better than the Pharisees. We can't say, well, at least I'm not like the Pharisees. Because it wasn't our being slightly better meant that we saw Jesus. But it's God who has opened our eyes to the problem, to our sin. It is God who revealed our nature. As his light shines upon us, we see our need. And so we are called to be humble, not to be self-righteous, to be penitent before our God, a God who loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son. And so let us humbly come before our gracious God and give him thanks. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your graciousness you call us into relationship with yourself. We thank you, Father, for the sacrifice of your Son, O Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness he has bought for us. We thank you, Father, you acted even before we even turned to you, and we only turn to you because of your grace and your work of your Spirit in us. May we give you the praise and the glory, Father, and may we live our lives for you. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing now Salvation Song.
Cherish for eternity. let us come before our great God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we are indeed privileged to come before you this morning. We thank you that you allow us to come before you in prayer, that you encourage us to pray, seeking your wisdom and guidance for the encouragement and reassurance that we are your children, your people, and that you are our God and Heavenly Father. You are a God who is sovereign, infinite and eternal, a God who is most holy, wise and all-knowing, a God who is loving, gracious and abundant in goodness to us. Indeed, you are a God who loves us so much that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die in our place, to take our punishment so that we might be reconciled to you and have life eternal. We thank you for Neil opening up and explaining your word from Luke's Gospel this morning. Lord Jesus, we ask that each day you would be pleased to give us your grace in our lives, that our thoughts, words and deeds may imitate your humility. Remove from us any notion of pride in ourselves, realizing that without your grace poured out on our lives, we are nothing, and that our salvation is all from you, and without that, we would still be dead in our sins. We thank you that, as always, you're in control of our world, including the current COVID pandemic. More than ever, may we put our faith and trust in you completely to guide and lead us in these very challenging times. Thank you that in your mercy, in Australia, we have seen a slowing of the spread of the virus, especially here in WA. We continue to pray for Victoria, that the numbers of those infected and associated deaths may continue to reduce. Please give wisdom, insight and knowledge to scientists and researchers as they search for the most effective treatments and for a vaccine. We pray for those who have lost their jobs or have been affected economically as a result of the government shutdowns. Thank you for Scott Morrison and Mark McGowan for their calm and considered leadership. Continue to guide their hands so that they make decisions based on both truth, love and compassion. We also ask that politicians and bureaucrats exercise restraint and not abuse their powers to the detriment of ordinary citizens. We pray for Neil and Wes, along with our other church leaders, that you would give them wisdom, energy and strength as to how we can continue to care and minister to one another at this time. Thank you for their loving ministry to us and their untiring efforts to minister to us at St. Peter's. We continue to bring before you the Christians of the Nuba Mountain region of the Sudan. We thank you that an agreement will soon be signed ending Sudan's 30 years of rule under Islamic law, and Islam is the official state religion. We bring before you our linked churches, including Ellenbrook and Rockingham Safety Bay. We ask that you be pleased to bless these churches through the faithful proclamation of your word week by week. And we pray for Trinity Theological College and the lecturers Don West, Alan Chappell, David Kumaru, Tom Bull, Claire Deves and Dan Cole. Show us how each of us can support the work of the college as men and women are trained in service for you. We thank you for the Mothers Union and for the very practical work they do in this place at St. Peter's and also in the Wanneroo community. Thank you also for the WOW group who organised the Soup and Songs night last Sunday evening, as well as the ladies' morning tea yesterday. We pray for you and Lynn, who heads up the student ministry team at ECU Joondalup, that students there may be one for Christ. We now bring before you those in our congregation who are not well and have been struggling with illness. We pray for those who would like to, but do not want to come to church due to COVID. May they be reassured that whilst they are not here with us physically, we are with them in our prayers and deeds. We pray for Angie's ongoing treatment and pray that you would continue to give her energy, peace and strength at this time. Likewise, we bring Ingrid before you as she continues her struggle to overcome her cancer. We pray that you would give her strength and your peace. We also pray for Trevor as he cares for Ingrid. And we would also bring before you Sally, Anthea and Charles, that you would be pleased to heal them and also comfort them with your peace and love so that they may know your presence in their lives. Thank you too for the work that Patty Parkinson puts into circulating emails for our church prayer chain, keeping us informed and encouraging us to pray for those in need. So now, Lord, we ask that you'd be pleased to hear and answer all our prayers this morning as we ask these things through the name of your dear Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So love he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin. And open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord. Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son, the purer and higher and greater.
Thank you for listening to our service, and thank you for everyone who's been involved with making this service for today. We're going to conclude by praying the benediction. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. We'll pray that your week will be a good one, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Take care. God bless.